each sermon has an Olympics-related theme, and I'm really glad that I haven't got out of shape next Sunday. I would think that Simon had a sort of hidden agenda in giving me that particular sermon to preach, but mercifully, I kick off the series with On the Team. And I don't know what the words on the team make you think of. I'm instantly transported back to my school days, standing on the games field, waiting to be picked for hockey in winter or rounders in summer. And the games teacher would start the process by choosing two of the sporty girls in the class, needless to say, I wasn't one of those, who would then pick their teams in turn. And they would either choose people who were sporty, and I didn't fall into that category, or else they picked those who were their best friends, and usually I didn't fall into that category either. And I would stand there desperately hoping that I wouldn't be the last one to be picked, because that was just too ignominious for words. Fortunately, I was usually about three quarters of the way down the list in the pecking order. There were always some girls who were worse at games and nobody's friend below me, so it was okay. I would get picked eventually, but it was really horrible standing, waiting for my name to be called. Needless to say, the process for picking the athletes for this year's Olympics was far more stressful than the process of my being picked for the hockey team, and very demanding, with joy, obviously, for some who made it onto the team, and great, bitter disappointment for others. So I'm going to begin with the good news. God wants all of you to be on his team. And his team is massive. It stretches all over the world. It's represented by many different churches here in Kingston. And today we're thinking specifically about what it means to be on the team here in St. Paul's. And this is a picture of the big breakfast. For those of you who haven't been in January, we take all the chairs away, and as well as worshipping together and praying together, we also enjoy breakfast together. And it's a chance to bring all the different congregations, the more formal congregation that meets at 9 o'clock, and then the congregations at 10:30 and 6:30, they have a chance to gather together and get to know each other. It's always a great, great, great time. And actually, it's a good picture of the church, because the church is not the building, the church is the people inside it. And when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he used the analogy of a body, because many different people were gathering to worship in the church in Corinth, just as they do here at St. Paul's. They were from different racial backgrounds. There were Jews and Greeks. They were from different social groups. There were slaves, there were free men. They all had different talents and skills. And this was causing a certain amount of division. So Paul was writing to stress, first of all, that despite their differences, they were all united in Christ. They were all one in Christ. And actually, the same is true for us here today. We may be very different. We may come from different backgrounds. We may have different skills and talents, but we're all united and equal because we all have God's Holy Spirit inside each one of us. Sometimes we need to remember that, because, you know, we sometimes make divisions in our heads about people where God doesn't want us to. And each part of the body is important and necessary. The Corinthians had fallen into the trap of thinking that some people were greater than others, and that some people had gifts that were more special than others. Not so, says Paul. The body's made up of different parts, and each part is important and necessary. Just because a foot isn't a hand or an ear isn't an eye doesn't mean they don't belong. We're not all meant to be the same. If we were, it wouldn't work. If the whole body were an ear, how would we see? Or if the whole body were an eye, how would we hear? We all bring something different and special to the body. And Paul warns us not to compare ourselves negatively to other people and think, sometimes, you know, if we think other people are better than us, we think, well, maybe we shouldn't be here. We haven't got anything to offer. Or maybe they're different, or I'm different to them. I shouldn't be here. But actually, what Paul is saying, it's precisely because you are different that you are important to this body of people here in the church. We need you, just as conversely, you need us. Because if you take a body part away from the body, then it can't do very much. If you were to, I'm not advocating this, obviously, cut off a finger or something, that finger, apart from the body, wouldn't be able to do anything. While it's attached to you, you can still use it. So we all need each other. If somebody is missing, then the body is less effective. I've been reading a book recently and rereading it again for this sermon by John Ortberg called The Me I Want to Be, Becoming God's Best Version of You. And he makes the point that a lot of us often waste a lot of our lives wishing that we were different instead of recognizing that we are who we are because that is who God wants us to be. And the best gift we can give to the world is to become God's best version of ourselves. We'll then be able to contribute in a unique way that no one else can. And this is what Ortberg wrote. When you fail to become the person God designed, all the rest of us miss out on the gift you were meant to give. I find these words really challenging, but I also find them very liberating because I no longer have to strive to be someone that I'm not. I just have to become God's best version of me. And I really recommend Ortberg's book if you want to learn more about this. Paul continues that even parts of the body that we think are weaker are indispensable. And Ortberg gives the example of Henri Nouwen, who left the world of academia and spent the last decade of his life caring for physically and mentally challenged people in a community called L'Arche. And Nouwen discovered that the new and really challenging relationships he made in this community were able to transform him into being the person that God wanted him to be in a way that his time in Harvard could not. As Nouwen served his new friends, their distinctive gifts were able to bring out the best in him, and Nouwen needed them as much as they needed him. God removes the distinctions between the weak and the strong, and just as there is no best part, there's no worst part. And the whole body suffers if one part suffers. We don't always realize how important different parts of the body are until they stop working properly. I'm sometimes quite clumsy. Actually, my husband would say, take out the word sometimes. I have a habit of tripping over. I usually try to blame my big feet or my varifocal glasses, but frankly, it's usually because I'm running late and I'm not looking where I'm going. So I can trip over or bang my feet against things, which can be agony, especially if I'm wearing open-toed sandals. And I once really knocked one of my toes, which was left black and blue, and I was in agony for several days. And I never knew how much I used my toes to walk with, to stand, to balance, until one of them was injured. But what a difference it made. It doesn't matter which part of the body it is. If it's not working properly, it affects the whole body. And it's the same in the family of the church. If someone here is suffering, actually, we're all suffering. And Paul reminds us that God wants us to be concerned for each other. Conversely, the whole body rejoices if one part is honoured. Whenever we have something to celebrate here in church, we're all part of it. So we celebrate Miguel and Liana's forthcoming marriage, and I'm going to celebrate with them on the day. I'm so excited. I think I'm more excited than they are. No, I'm not. They're more excited than I am. We're all excited. It's going to be a great day. We celebrate the birth of new children when they're brought into the community. Because you're part of us. We're part of you. We celebrate together. When my son Andy went to Switzerland to row for Great Britain in the Junior European Championships, We all cheered really loudly when he got a medal. And he actually did the hard work because he had to do the rowing. We just stood on the bank, bursting with pride and shouting as loudly as we could. And my husband claims to this day that he's permanently deaf in one ear because I yelled so loudly. And actually, I got another chance to shout because my daughter's taking me to one of the rowing days, and it's the women's eights racing, and lots of Andy's friends are rowing, so we're going to yell our heads off then. If yelling could win the Olympics, I'd win. I'd have lots of gold medals. I can be really loud if I need to be. Unfortunately, they don't have a category for that yet. We were so proud to be part of Andy's day and to celebrate that joy. And it's, as I said, it's the same here in St. Paul's. We rejoice when people are honoured or blessed. We're not meant to be jealous of other people's success. You know, that's the shadow side of it, isn't it? When we look at people who do something well, we can be a bit jealous, a bit envious, maybe think, oh, I wish I was like them. Actually, we're meant to be celebrating them and rejoicing and honouring each member of the body in equal measure. So how should this impact us here in St. Paul's, this letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians? Well, we're all on the team. None of us are meant to be spectators. And, you know, it's a difficult one because we all have very different gifts and skills. We all lead very different lives. But belonging to a community is about getting involved with it. It's not just about turning up to church on a Sunday and then going home again. And I think maybe God wants to challenge some people here today. Are you being the best version of yourself that God wants you to be? Or are we missing out on the gift that you're meant to be giving to us? One of the marks of belonging to St. Paul's is serving, and there are always many opportunities to do so. And we often need help in specific areas, for example, serving the children's work, cleaning the church, welcoming people when they arrive. There's a huge list. Giving a lift to people with mobility problems, especially to the 10:30 service. And that's always an area where we need extra people who are able to help. And I keep thinking, gosh, you know, I hope when I get to that stage and I can't hop to church anymore, because I've got a bad toe, you know, that people will come and bring me in the future. That's my hope, because this has been my community for such a long time. And I would be devastated if I couldn't get there on a Sunday. So maybe that's a real challenge for some of us. Could you, one Sunday, even if you normally walk to church, perhaps say, I'm going to drive to church one Sunday every month or one Sunday every 2 months and go on the rota to help someone get here. Cleaning the loos, flower arranging, helping with the PA. And actually, no job is greater or lesser. Having clean loos is just as important as putting a service together. You may not know who the people are who clean them, but you would very quickly notice if they didn't. And this is a photograph of a house that needs some attention. I should point out this is not a photograph of my house, but it's to illustrate a story that I'm going to read, which is called What Happened Here Today, Darling? One evening, a man came home from work to find total mayhem in the house. His three children were in the garden, still in their pajamas, playing in the mud, with empty food boxes and wrappers strewn all around. Walking into the sitting room, he found an even bigger mess. A lamp had been knocked over, the TV was blaring out the cartoon channel, and toys and various items of clothing were scattered all over the floor. In the kitchen, dishes filled the sink, breakfast food was spilled on the counter, dog food was spilled on the floor, a broken glass lay under the table, and a small pile of sand was spread by the back door. He quickly headed up the stairs, stepping over toys and piles of clothes, looking for his wife. He was worried she might be ill or that something serious had happened. He found her lounging in the bedroom, still curled up in the bed in her pajamas, reading a novel. She looked up at him and smiled and asked how his day went. He looked at her bewildered and asked, "What happened here today?" She smiled again and answered, "You know every day when you come home from work and ask me what in the world did I do today?" "Yes," he replied. "Well, today I didn't do it," she answered. St. Paul's couldn't function if the people who do things stopped doing them. And it could function even better if some of the people who don't do things picked up the baton and ran with it. And by sharing your gifts with us, you will be blessed as well as being a blessing. And I think the other challenge that God has for us is to grow closer as a body, to grow closer as a team, to form genuine and deep relationships with each other. Because Paul talks about caring for the body, and it's difficult to care for people when you don't know them, to care for one another and honour them through times of suffering as well as times of blessing. We received so much care as a family when my son died, the same one who was a rower, died in 2009. He had cancer. And you cared for us. And that care made a huge, huge difference. We could not have got through that time as well as we did if we hadn't had your support, your love, your prayers. And actually, it made an enormous difference. So thank you all. But that's what we're called to be as a family. When one person in the family is hurting, the whole family is meant to pull round them and help them and bless them. We're to serve one another. We're to learn from each other. We're not meant to make a distinction between each other, but love equally and without measure, just as God loves us. Then we're going to be gifts, not just to each other, but to the world. I'm just going to finish by rereading a few of the words of our reading from the Message version, which is a contemporary translation, but it puts it rather beautifully. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church, every part dependent on every other part, the parts we mention and the parts we don't, the parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. Loving Father, thank you that when we become the best versions of ourselves, we bring so much joy to the world, so much love. Please help us to learn what it means to be the best version of ourselves. Not to be ashamed of who we are, but to rejoice in who we are. And to use the gifts that you have given us to serve others. Father, may this church and all your other churches throughout the world share this same joy, share this same unity, share this same love, and may we be a blessing to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.